Welcome to another podcast from Planet Shakers Church. For details on campus locations and service times, check out planetshakers.com. Today we've got Dr. Clayton Coombs speaking on What's on the Table. Let's check it out.
John 14, verse 12, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me," do you believe today? "Will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do," listen to me, listen, "I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You can ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Come on, Planet Shakers, do we believe that this morning? You can ask for anything. The trouble with us is sometimes we ask for the wrong thing. Sometimes we pray the wrong prayers. Sometimes we're a little bit downcast, we're focused on the wrong things, and we ask too small. Can I tell you a little story at my own expense this morning? Several years ago, it was here actually. I was walking around here by myself and I had this moment with God. It was like heaven was opened and I heard, I don't hear audible voices, by the way. If I asked for hands raised, there'd be one or two who probably have heard that. I never have, I still hope to. But it was so clear. It was a moment with God. It was like heaven opened and God spoke to me and He said, "Son, what do you want?" Now, it just so happened I was a little bit grumpy, I was a little bit tired, I was a little bit selfish, I was a little bit in the flesh. I was looking down and looking at my shoes and walking along. And do you know what I said? I said, "Well, I could do with a milkshake." I said it aloud. I was by myself. I told you it was at my expense. Can I implore you, when I ask in a few minutes' time on heaven's behalf, because there's going to be that moment for some of you later on in this meeting, when I ask that question on heaven's behalf later on, can you do me a favor and not ask for milkshakes? As soon as the words were out of my mouth, I knew what I'd done and I said, "I'm sorry, Lord, could you ask me that again? Just one more time." And He began to challenge me as I began to look up from myself to my family. I began to pray. I said, "Lord, I want to take my kids on a holiday, like a real holiday. My inconveniently large family, I'd love to go on a holiday. I'd love to get my kids on an aeroplane and go somewhere warm and beachy." And I began to pray, still selfish, by the way. God answered that prayer within 6 months of my praying that. But He asked me again, He wouldn't let me alone, "What do you want?" And I begin to look up from my own needs. I begin to look up from my own wants. And I begin to say, "Lord, I want to disciple a generation. I want to see young men and women of God raise up who know the truth of the Word of God, who understand the power of the Holy Spirit, who know their position and authority in Christ." So I want to ask, because see, sometimes you can take your seats. What's on the table today? And I say, you can have anything. Jesus says, "Ask me. What do you want? What do you need?" You might be thinking, well, what's actually on the table here? If you're going to ask me that, what's on the table? So we're going to talk a little bit about what's on the table. And I want to take you to the story of a lady in the Bible who found out what was on the table because of her great, great need. You'll find it in your Bibles in Mark 7, but we're not going to read that one. We're going to read the one in Matthew 15, beginning in verse 21. I have a slightly different version to what's on the screen, but you can follow along in your Bible or whatever. It says this: "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon." Bookmark that in your mind. It's important. I hope I come back to it. "A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to Him crying out, 'Lord,'" good confession, "'Son of David,'" great confession, "'have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession.'" The literal Greek is, she's got it bad. "Jesus did not answer a word. So His disciples came to Him and urged Him, 'Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us.'" Well, that's all very well, but who got the great faith commendation at the end of the story? Not them. She keeps crying out after us, send us away. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came, she knelt before him. She worshipped him. It says, she came and she fell before him and worshipped him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to their dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. I want to talk to you today about what's on the table. What's on the table? And I want to start with the fact that she comes in the position of a dog under the table. And I want to know what she's doing sniffing around this particular table, because she's a Canaanite. She's not an Israelite. She's not under the covenant God has with his people. But she comes to this table. She calls him Lord because she wants Israel's God. She calls him Son of David because she wants to submit herself to Israel's King, the Messiah. And Jesus says to her, woman, you have great faith. So I want to know what it is that she saw, what revelation she got, that the disciples who were supposed to have great faith and are consistently faulted in the Gospels for having little faith or no faith, I want to know what it is that they're missing in this situation. Because this is just as much a teaching for disciples as it is a healing for this desperate woman. What is it about God, Israel's God, that causes her, this Canaanite woman, this desperate woman, to come sniffing around that table and say, I want into these promises. I want Israel's God. I want Israel's King. I want Israel's Messiah. See, God, let me tell you a little bit about what's on the table, because we're going to take communion later on. Very soon, actually. My goodness, that moves fast. Stop waffling. Here's what's on the table. God does because God is. It's not the same with us. Often we do in order to be. Sometimes, quite often, we strive to do so that we can make ourselves other than what we fear deep down we really are. But God is not like that. God consistently acts because God is. That's why God reveals himself in the Old Testament as I am. He says, I am who I am, because there's no one who can compare with him. He doesn't say, I am like, because there's nothing like him. He just simply says, I am. And progressively in the Old Testament, God reveals his character and his nature by these great I am statements. As a matter of fact, God's very name, Yahweh, I can say that in here because we're a Gentile New Covenant congregation. I don't need to use euphemisms or do G-D or whatever. We can call it like it is. His name is Yahweh, but that name means I am. And so God adds revelation on revelation to this in the Old Testament. For example, God reveals himself as Yahweh Yireh. Or if you know the old song, Jehovah Jireh. The pronunciation's not important. The revelation's important, because what that means is God is provider. Now I want to tell you today, God is not merely a great being who, in addition to his other benefits, occasionally provides. The grammar's difficult, and I promised my wife last night I wouldn't get tied down in grammar today, because that's my constant temptation. But let me just tell you this. The word is providing. It's kind of a present. The word is what God is, God does. He's the one who provides. So what you need today is not a miracle of provision. What you need is a provider, and what you need is found in his presence, because that's who he is. We've learned to confess God as Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, right? Because what God does is because of who God is. God is not just a great being that occasionally, and in addition to his other benefits, sometimes heals. God is healing itself. Won't get tied down in grammar. God is healer. But can I tell you something else today? We call him Jehovah Rapha because we looked in the dictionary. But if we looked in the Bible, we would learn that his name is Yahweh Rophaika, which is not merely God who heals, it's God who heals you. God's personal name is your healing. And so I tell you again today, what you need if you come in with a sickness or an injury, I'm telling you, the power of the Lord Yahweh is present to heal the sick today. And what you need is not a miracle of healing. What you need is a healer, and he's here for you. This is what's on the table today. So when I ask you, what do you need? What do you want? Don't ask for milkshakes. Go for what you need because everything's on the table. Jesus comes to a blind man with that same moment and says to him, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? Man, if I'm the blind man, I'm saying, isn't it obvious? I can't even see the person who's talking to me. I have to imagine your flipping face. But he doesn't say that. He just prays a prayer and says, Lord, that I might see. And he goes away seeing. I'm telling you, there are people in this meeting today who came in desperate and who are going to go away different. So what's on the table today? Anything you need is on the table. I want to talk about who's at the table. Can we do that for a bit? Watching that clock relentlessly tick down. Let's talk about who's at the table. This woman has a problem, and it's a problem that many of us share today, or at least we think we share, because she only thinks she has a problem. But the problem is she doesn't belong at the table. That's why she comes in with the position of a dog. And by the way, the position of a dog's not all bad. It says she falls down before him and worships him. That word worship is kind of a confusing, I won't get tied down in etymology, but it means something like that beautiful song, spontaneous song we did years ago, Kiss Towards. It has the intimacy of that picture, like a lover's kiss, but it also has the adoration of a dog licking its master's hand. So when she argues with Jesus, by the way, Jesus is inviting the argument. He's having a conversation, a faith-building conversation in front of disciples, and it's all in code. I imagine him looking into her face and saying, I came only to the lost sheep of Israel. She says, Lord, help me. He says, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. It's all for the disciples. She said, yes, it is. Even the dogs get to come to the table. I only want a crumb. But the truth of this is, what's on the table belongs to her. And when we come to the table today, we do not come, though we come in a position of worship of Jesus, although we put him as Lord and Messiah above us, although we bow down in adoration and kiss towards him in our worship, the truth of this passage is that we do not come in the position of dogs today. We come in the position of children seated at the table. And I want to tell you, what's on the table is there for you. The table is set for us. Healing, listen to me carefully, healing is the children's bread. Is that simple? We don't have to plead for healing. We don't have to beg for healing. We don't really even need revelation other than this one for healing. I mean, it's there. It's on the table. We don't even need to scramble for there's enough places for all at God's table. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to Christmas this year more than most years. And Christmas is the time. Thanksgiving, if you're watching from the United States, I heard your country called before. But Christmas is the time when we set an amazing table. Now, I don't know about your family, but our family, there's a couple of tables because there's just a boatload of people. And so the adults go at one table, the children go at another table. And sometimes, I don't know, our kids get a little bit because there's things on the table there that aren't on the table there. And praise God, we usually do a good job and put great things on the children's table too. But can you imagine, like, looking at a table? Just amazing things on it. Your Christmas times 100, like just the most opulent food. And thinking to yourself, as you adopt the position of a servant, oh, I'm looking forward so much to the meal today. They're going to enjoy the meal. They're all going to enjoy the meal. But if that's what's on the table, the crumbs, the leftovers are going to be magnificent. What the servants get to eat is going to be fantastic. So the woman says in her great faith, I only need a crumb from this table and that's going to get my daughter healed. That's all I need. She says, I can't wait to clean up after the important people have had their meal. But imagine that the host of the feast begins to pull out a chair. That offense that happens in the upper room at the end where the host of the meal like bends down and takes up a towel, takes a position of a servant and says, no, you're the honored guests at the table. This table is set for you. And you realize with great excitement that it's not just the leftovers, it's not just the crumbs, but it's the very things that are on the table that are meant for you. This woman finds herself outside the covenants of Israel. But Jesus, of whom the Apostle Paul says, he breaks down the dividing wall of hostility in himself. Jesus goes to the region of Tyre and Sidon, to the very border between the Jewish people and the Gentile people, to the very border of the country of Syrophoenicia, and peeks over the wall that in his body he's going to break down. He begins to invite the Gentiles in. Did you realize I've still got time? Praise God. Did you realize that there's a feeding, there's a bread miracle right before this, and there's a bread miracle right after this? Before this is a bread miracle for the Jewish people, 5,000 plus women and children and teaching. After this is a bread miracle for the Gentiles in this region. 4,000 plus women and children and healing. Why? Because healing is the children's bread. And it said, they marveled at Israel's God. This is the hinge moment in the Gospels where the outsiders get to come in. Where the dogs begin to realize, did you realize that dogs is what Jews call Gentiles? Some people think that Jesus is only trying to offend her. No, I'm telling you, Jesus is trying to elevate her. Jesus is challenging her. You belong at this table. You came in as a dog, but you're going to leave a child of God. She says, I don't care. A dog under this table, I'm fine with the crumbs. I'd rather be a dog under this table than royalty seated at any other table. Jesus says, great faith, but the table was set for you. So I don't know what condition. I don't know what condition you came in to this meeting. Maybe you think, you know, when they begin to talk about God's benefits, maybe that's for the good people. Maybe that's for the people who jump up and down on the stage and lead us in great praise and worship, but I'm not that. Maybe you think that it's for the people on the front row, the good people, right? Oh, if only you knew, the good people are just people like any other people. There's no good people and bad people. That's not how this covenant works. There's sons and daughters. And there's not even sons and daughters and everybody else. There's sons and daughters and people who don't yet know that they're sons and daughters who belong at the table. That's why, by the way, at the end of every meeting, we ask people to come down the front. It's not because we're trying to build our kingdom or make our numbers greater. It's because you're invited to this table too. Every single one's invited to this table. We get so excited about that, that excitement begins to overflow every weekend. And we say, do you realize? You belong as well. You belong as well. So I want to invite you to the table today because what's on it is meant for you. Healing's on the table. Your provision is on the table. Restoration is on the table. Breakthrough is on the table. Revival is on the table. Vision is on the table. But I want to challenge you today. Because see, I believe this is a moment where God's saying, what do you want? Ask me for anything. Ask me for anything and I'll do it. See, if you come into this meeting looking at your shoes, like me on that silly day that I told you about when I'm just asking for milkshakes because I'm feeling fleshly and selfish. If you come into this meeting looking at your shoes, when he asks you, what do you want? You're going to answer with selfish prayers. Well, I want my family to take notice of me. I want this problem solved. I want some of what the other people get. I'm going to take my kids on holidays. So you come up through selfishness, but I believe God's lifting your gaze today and inviting you to, because see, dogs look for crumbs underneath the table. Maybe I could get that. Maybe I could get that. But children are looking at what's on the table and they're excited about the meal. Would you be seated today at the table? Come on. He's prepared a place for you, for you. Some of you are thinking right now about all the reasons why you don't belong at this table. Think of her reasons, by the way. She's a Gentile, which means not a Jew, which means she don't belong to the covenant. She's not just a Gentile, not just any Gentile. She's a Canaanite. She's a Canaanite. That's the people group that God judged by driving them out. They don't even belong there. She's a Canaanite. She's a woman. I'm sorry, I know it's 2021. I get that like everybody else does, but this is one of those societies that our society is trying not to be or whatever, and women are not seen as valuable as the men. She's a woman. She doesn't even have a right to be having the conversation. Her daughter is sick. Not only sick, but demonized. There's evil going on here. And in her mind, she's thinking about, what about the foothold that became a stronghold in my daughter's life? Is that my problem? Is that my sin? Is that because I'm a Canaanite? Is that because I don't belong? All of those things she could have been thinking. And some of you came into this meeting today thinking about why you may not belong at this table and why other people get more than you do from this table and all of the things that disqualify you, sniffing around the table like a dog. Well, praise God, you came to the right place. At least you came in as a dog at this table. At least your declaration, your great faith declaration is, I'd rather sniff around the legs of this table and lick up the crumbs than be a king seated at any other table. But I'm telling you, you belong at this table. That's the truth of Jesus' message to this woman. It doesn't matter what you think of yourself. It doesn't matter what you think disqualifies you. It doesn't matter what you brought in. It doesn't matter that you came in sin. It doesn't matter that you came in compromise. It doesn't even matter that this is your first time coming to this church and hearing a message like this. Well done for staying in the meeting, by the way. I know the atmosphere is a little bit of a shift, but I'm telling you, God's presence is here. Maybe you think, well, I don't come all that often. Maybe I don't come every week. I'm not in a good place with God. The table's for you. The table's for you.
Hey, it's been so great that you've been able to join us today. I hope that your faith is filled. If you have any prayer requests or you want to connect with us any further at Planet Shakers, why don't you be a part?